burn in us, a holy fire that burned in the early church, Lord, that fire that was like fires of tongues that came and rested upon them, Lord. We're asking for that kind of fire to come and consume us once again, that we decree your justice, Lord, just as they went down after that time of joy, that time of your presence, Lord, then they would live that lifestyle, Lord, until you took them home, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that you would come and visit us once again, Lord, not just with a little touch, Lord, but God, we're crying out for the latter and former glory reigns of your kingdom to come and consume us, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that there would truly come upon us, Lord, a greater revelation of your kingdom, Lord. God, I ask that the Father of glory would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. God, I pray that we would push past all of those ways that we know you, and we thank you for revealing yourself to us. But God, I pray that every one of us here and the ones that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, that we would hunger and cry out for more of you. We'd cry out to know the Father of glory. What a daddy. The Father of glory that would send his Son to come and die for creation. Lord, we want to know that Father of glory that is consumed with love, consumed with love, consumed with love, and we want to be consumed with that love. That you'd give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. God, I pray that we push past just wanting to know you in a formula way or wanting to know you in a very external way, Lord. But God, I cry out, Lord, that you would remove the veils from our hearts, the veils of unanswered prayers that's keeping us from intimacy. Remove the veils of disappointments, Lord, of not seeing you show up in different ways. And give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, our great King. God, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened and enlightened with the great revelation of your kingdom, Lord. And that we would know what is the hope of your calling. Lord, there's something about that you want to release in us a greater revelation of who you are and hope. Hope, hope, hope. And Lord, we thank you. It goes on to say, what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, who raised you from the dead and lives and dwells within us. God, we pray that these scriptures would come alive, Lord, and we would decree your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. For anybody who wants to come up and pray, please come up and let's just release a couple of decrees of the Lord.
Lord, we ask that as you open the eyes of our understanding, we would be more and more established, each one, in our identity as sons and daughters. Father, sons and daughters know the authority that they've been given by their earthly parents. And Lord, we want to take you everywhere we go. We want to interject you with everything we say and do into our circumstances. So Lord, thank you that you establish us as your children more firmly than ever before, that we know your heartbeat so clearly, Father, in a circumstance, in a situation, as we go to prayer, that Father, we literally just do say what we hear you saying. We do those things we see you doing. Father, that we would know that we are your children, that there's no guilt, shame, or condemnation, that those things would be removed. Those shackles fall off tonight in Jesus' name. And we move forward running and leaping across the mountaintops with joy, the strength of you being our joy, Lord, because we're free through you, Lord Jesus. We just proclaim freedom over every person who's associated with Hope Fellowship. New levels of freedom, new levels of soaring in the Spirit, hearing, feeling your heartbeat, and then carrying that everywhere we go, Lord. Oh, we love you and we bless you and we thank you, Lord, for all those things that are in your heart, for every one of us, for us as a people, to literally do what we have just sung, Father, to change the nations, to be history makers. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we ask that you knock the scales off of our eyes, as you did for Saul at Tarsus. Or you knock the scales off his eyes. open our eyes that we can see you, that we can see ourselves the way that you see us. Lord, that we can walk as sons and daughters of you with the kind of authority that you give. Lord, that we will stand against injustice. Open our eyes, Lord. And God, I ask you to stir us up. Stir up your body, Lord. Stir up your body where we've become lukewarm and casual and comfortable. Lord, stir us up. Ignite the passion in us, passion for you. Ignite that burning passion. Not just a little bit. But Lord, set us ablaze for you. Show us what it means to be co-laborers with you, God. That we will take our stand at our posts as intercessors. That we will walk with you as we go about our daily lives, and that we'll shine our light for you. Set us on fire, God. Ignite us for your glory, Lord, for your glory. That we would be history makers for your glory. That we would alter the lives and destinies of people around us for your glory. That nations would be changed. That regions would be changed for your glory, God.
Father, we do thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, and we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to blow upon us, that we would be your voice here on the face of the earth, decreeing your will and your purpose, and speaking your justice into the injustices of the earth. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a few moments, 30 minutes or so. And then I want to go back to prayer. And Laura, I may have you share that here in a moment. See if that the word that you got is very good. If you haven't gotten these apostolic prayers that are on the website of Mike Bickle's ministry, feel free to grab one. It's great stuff to pray and just to read the word and decree and speak forth his kingdom on the face of the earth. Amen? All right. Again, I appreciate you coming. Yeah, you can pass it around. Who all wants that one that wants it and hasn't had it? Yeah, Philip and Jason wants one over here. I have a question for you. You don't have to answer. Don't want you to answer out. It's a rhetorical question. In Revelations, there's a promise about there's bowls in heaven. That there comes a time those bowls in heaven get full. And an angel of the Lord goes to those bowls, and those bowls, in those bowls are the prayers of the saints. That's incense. And this angel takes this fire from the altar of God. And that's the reason I love Michael Bickle's writing on the walls in Kansas City, where it talks about the priest's job is to keep the fire burning all the time. That's what it said in the Old Testament. You and I are called to keep the fire burning. The Holy Spirit falls upon us, and there's a fire in us, but because of busyness of life or different things, the fire kind of starts going out, and we kind of start sleeping in, and then we miss our time during the lunch hour, or we push it back, and little by little, because I've really seen it over the decade from 2000 to now, the church in its passion for prayer has grown more and more dim. And I believe the reason is we got around Y2K because we thought we navigated around it. All the computers on the face of the earth didn't go crashing. We navigated around 2001, 9/11, and so man starts thinking that we can navigate around the injustice of the earth. We got bin Laden. We got bad guys that did what they did. And the reason we keep having some of the things we have happen because... And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to go after things like that in the natural with our military. But what about the injustices that are going on that we're supposed to go after in the spirit realm? injustices that 40 million babies have been aborted now since 1973. Where's the injustices that the church is supposed to go after, that only the church has an answer to the injustices on the face of the earth? Where's the cry of the God's justice into what is Mexico? Or do we just keep going through life because we look over the last 11 years and man has been able to navigate around these things that I believe God hasn't caused, but he's tried to allow us to wake us up? I watch prayer deteriorate, not deteriorate, that's the wrong word. People quit showing up for prayer meetings, even at Sojourn. And we used to carry a mantle of prayer that on those 3 days after in January, when we would do a prayer and fasting to kick off the year, we'd have 200 people there. At the end, it started dropping down to 150, to 125, to 75, to 50. And so in my world, and then when I talk to other pastors, the attendance in prayer meetings drop. Why is that? I'm going to get back to Revelations here in a minute because there's a promise of revival, I believe, in Revelations. Why do you quit praying? Why do I quit praying? It's because we don't see answered prayers. It's because we've waited for 20 years to see something happen and it hasn't happened. And so the enemy starts unplugging our passion for prayer. So then man takes it upon himself to start building and bringing the Ark of the Covenant, if you will, of the story of David and all of that. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, they did it on man-made. We're going to do it in a wagon, if you will, if you remember the story. And the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be brought in by 6 priests, 3 on each side. And they were supposed to take so many steps and then do a sacrifice. Prayer is meant to carry the presence of the Lord into our sphere of influence. The sacrifice now is done at the cross. There ought to be a heart of thankfulness in each and every one of us when we pray. Not a begrudging attitude, man, I got to go to a prayer meeting because I've got to check off my little box in my heart of prayer. But to know that I get to have the privilege and honor. Who all remembers that story in the Bible when the Ark of the Covenant kind of shakes and Uzzah reaches out to touch it because they're bringing it in the back of a cart with the horse pulling the cart, if you will, or a camel or whatever in that day. And when he touches it, God smites him and he dies. And it was never meant to be brought in the cart. It was meant to be brought upon men of God's shoulders that would carry it in a place of prayer and thankfulness. So now back to Revelations. In this bowl has incense of prayers of the saints. The angel takes fire from the altar, comes, and there comes a time that he slings this fire that's mixed with incense, that's the prayers of the saints, and it brings forth thunderings and earthquakes and lightnings. It brings forth revival, I believe, what it represents. Your sphere of land. Okay, now you got the backdrop of that. Your sphere of land. How much prayer of incense is in your bowls that you're called to pray over? Would God have to turn the bowl over because there's dust in your bowl? What would he do if he went to the bowl of America right now? How much incense would he find in this bowl? And again, it's a type and shadow, but I'm wanting you to see, get a word picture. When he walks to that bowl of America, what, God, is it only being carried by IHOP and other ministries like that? Or is there a broad group of American believers praying night and day for revival? So now back to your land. God wants to go get your bowl that you've got prayer incense for prayer for your family. What's he got to work with? This isn't to condemn us, any of us. But we need to get a word picture that we're called to pray and represent Christ on earth and to pray his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so maybe we're all doing good. We got a lot of incense in our prayers, that bowl for our family. Okay, God goes over here to get the other bowl for our neighborhood and our city and our workplace, because all of those places, it's a place that is your land that God has you in, and for me also. So what does your bowls look like? Would God have a lot to work with? And my heart's desire is at the end of this time that we speak on prayer. And when my time comes to an end here as the lead pastor, that God has a lot to work with of incense in the bowls for the area that Hope Fellowship affects. Well, what about your area? Because I'm never going to go to your workplace, possibly, ever. What are you laughing back there, bro? You're still looking for that right there. That's good. I like that humor back there. It's good. So all that to say, I want to give you a word picture in that regard. There comes a time, and this is found in Luke 11:1. You can turn there, as I said that for Jason, as he told me to make sure I said the address. The day before, so whatever, the story of Martha and Mary is played out. Great, great story. And it's where I find myself sometimes, where I'm Martha and I'm working and I'm serving God and I'm going to this meeting and going to that meeting. I'm doing all the cool religious stuff, if you will. But Jesus honored one woman that day in 38 through 42 in Luke 10. And it was Mary, because she sat at the feet of Jesus to get his directives, to get his strategies. And no wonder she would be the woman of God that would anoint him for burial right before he had walked to the cross. For she had learned with that song that we sing, "I'll only go and I'll only do what you tell me to say and do." You only get that by spending time with him. Mary was a simple woman of God, just like us, except for us guys, the male version. So how are we doing of sitting before the Lord? How are we doing of hearing the strategies of the Lord to really see nations change? So something so bothered the disciples that day, as he declares and Jesus declares in 10:42, when Martha comes complaining. Sometimes we complain about people because their passion and hunger for the Lord really disturbs us. Because that's what happened to Martha that day. Her religious serving, and there's time for serving. But the intimacy that Mary carried with the Lord provoked her to anger. Oh, that there would be some provoking in the church again. That people would go, "Man, you're driving me nuts in your intimacy with God." When was the last time anybody got upset with you because of your intimacy is a little too overzealous for the Lord? Seriously. When's the last time you've even heard anybody discuss being upset with somebody because their zealous for the Lord is irritating you? I pray that it would start happening again. Amen?
Amen.
So the disciples are bothered by this, and they're watching, and they've watched Mary carry this out, and they've heard what Jesus says, but this one thing is needed, Martha. And Mary has pursued it, and that's time with me. I'm telling you again, it's still the one thing needed on the face of the earth. The disciples in 11:1, it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying." Now if Jesus is the Son of God who knows everything and he needed to have time to pray, how much more do we need that? Now think of what this says and read the Gospels over and over of how many times you see Jesus away in the mountain or in the wilderness, staying up all night praying. One time, when it was time to depict the elders, when it was time to pick the apostles in Mark, it says he stayed up all night praying. When there was a big decision, if you will, or a big implementation to bring God's kingdom to earth, isn't it amazing that Jesus was found praying? But yet, many times when we have a big decision to be made or all of that, what's the sweat equity of prayer we're putting in? Even for Hope here, it's exciting to launch out and do something, but is the sweat equity of prayer, I look around and every one of us are leaders here, is the sweat equity of prayer going to really keep this thing going and moving? where we see the miracles and power of the Lord released. I had lunch with Ron Campbell this last week, and he said, "Mike, how many people are you running?" And I told him, "Well, we're about the same." And he said, "You're not praying and you're not decreeing to bring them in." And when he said it, there was a time 15 years ago at Sojourn Church, as pastors, we used to do that. We would decree to the enemy's camp, "You have to give up the ones that are meant for Sojourn Church." And we would decree, "Devil, you let them go to the north, south, east, and west, and bring them in." We didn't want the people that were supposed to go to Bentry. We would even say, "Lord, take the ones that are meant for Bentry, Prestonwood." Again, a rhetorical question. Where's the prayer that we're praying for the people that are meant for this house? People that's supposed to be connected to this body of believers. Amen? Come on, y'all. Don't go to sleep on me. I know it's been a long day. So the disciples, they come to him, and he's in a certain place of praying. And then it says this. They say this: "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." I think we need that again. We need to be asking the Lord to teach us to pray. So I'm going to give you a little bit of my journey in prayer and what I've learned in some principles of prayer. And they're principles for me, but they're principles out of the Word. I truly believe that, just as scientists say, that every snowflake that falls, even if you have a 48-inch snowstorm, every one of them are different. All of us are wired different. I like to scream sometimes when I pray. I even do it in here by myself. I love how Mike Bickle says, "I tell people all the time, you don't have to pray loud, you don't have to scream at the devil," but I really like it. I do too. That's just who I am. I like to be wired that way. There's something. I know God's not hard of hearing. I've heard pastors say that. I've said that. I like to scream sometimes. It's something who I am. My wife is very contemplative. I don't think I've ever heard her scream. Okay? Yeah. Well, she screamed at me a couple of times, but that's a whole nother session. Edit that off the table. Yeah, they all do understand. That's good. That's true. So in all of that, you have to understand your wiring before the Lord. I love Nikki Kreutzmann from Sojourn. That girl never raised her voice, and she just prayed. But it would touch the heart of God. But yeah, I mean, it's like, Nikki, I love that. And it doesn't matter. I could have prayed for 5 minutes and screamed for four of it. Nikki's going to come up, get the mic, and be who God's created her to be. Who are you in the area of prayer? And do you know how God has wired you? My wife, bless her heart, she's been able to rub up and change me of really understanding contemplative prayer. I know this sounds hard to believe, and a lot of it had to do with IHOP when my wife and my daughter started taking me there too. I started learning to really be quiet before the Lord. Bless you. And I can go 4 or 5 hours and never mutter a word in prayer. Prayer's a journey. And you have to understand the season. Sometimes prayer is loud. And then sometimes prayer is quiet. In Ezekiel, there's 4 faces that describe God and 4 faces in Revelations. If God is the face of a lion, that I believe he's roaring, you don't want to be the face of an ox and serving. You understand what I'm saying in that? You have to understand who you are individually in every season of prayer. And then we have to understand who we are in a corporate season of prayer. And we have to understand the difference of individual prayer and corporate prayer. When I walk through that door, I've got to drop off my list of individual prayer and join in a corporate setting so that we build upon things. You understand what I'm saying by that? Right? Jennifer, you got it? Okay, I'm looking for some feedback here because I was getting some. Because I want to take time to explain it. Prayer is the greatest privilege and honor we have as believers, I believe, that I truly believe, to connect with God. Greatest honor and privilege. Richard Foster, he talks about the disciplines of Christ. Great book. And prayer is a key ingredient in how you pray and how you carry your heart before the Lord. The journey in prayer, you know, all these years, I grew up in Temple Baptist Church. That's where I'll be next week speaking at a revival. I mean, here they are bringing me back. I was a good kid until about 16. And then it's like, Mike, can you not come back for a few years? And they didn't ever ask me that, but I'm sure they thought it a time or two. But I understand so many of those good old Baptist church, you do those sword drills and first one to look up the scripture, you know. I don't know if any of those, any of y'all remember those. And I mean, I went to Royal Ambassadors and I mean, we were active in the church. I understood why so many things came alive when the Lord touched my life 24 years ago. It was all of those spiritual time bombs that James Ryle talked about over there when he was in Buckner home. And he remembers quoting all those scriptures and reading the Bible. But when he's about to be sentenced and he thinks he's going to go for 20 years, and one night in the jail cell, those spiritual time bombs started going off. And the scriptures that he had read and meditated for years came to life. That's what happened to me 24 years ago next month. July is always a fun month for me because it's the month that I got right with the Lord. Even though it's hotter and blazes, I think there's always a natural and the spiritual connotation to that. But in those days, as I've grown in prayer, those first 5 years of prayer, no matter what I prayed, it was answered. I mean, just like I said, do a one-minute prayer that night to get right with the Lord in that month of July and said, Lord, I've messed up my life, but if you'll come back in my... And I knew at the age of 12, God had called me to be a pastor. At the age of 17, I wised up and saw Pastor Jim Bozeman so broke all the time that I made an inner vow going, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be broke. I remember that as sure as night and day. And so those were the reasons at the age of 17 I started running from the Lord and running from that call, because I remember in an evangelism class at the age of 12 taking evangelism at Temple Baptist Church, I knew God told me to be a pastor. At the age of 17, like I said, I started running from it. So God, in his mercy and grace, when I get right before the Lord 24 years ago, everything I prayed for was answered those first 5 years. And then all of a sudden, I get up on that fifth year, the end of the fifth year, and you start praying, and you just don't feel God like you once did. Anybody ever been there? I've heard some people talk about that it's the dark night of the soul. I hear people talk about, you know, all of a sudden God just gets silent. And Laura came up with the word a while ago that talked about when the silence happens, that's when there's an incubation going, and right? In the womb where life can come forth. And God starts to, and this is how I was preparing it except for that, but it was so true. It literally is like Joshua, where he sent his men out to tell the group of Israelites, prepare yourself, you've never been this way before. And all of a sudden, it's like God went, we're right here in the living room, and he goes two blocks away because he wants to know, am I going to pursue him for stuff or for love? John 6, Jesus feeds the multitudes. They follow him the next day for the stuff and not the love. Great, great chapter. He says, no, you're following me for the stuff, not because of a passionate love affair. He gives a hard message, a great church growth message. If you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're not worthy to follow me. And I think his church goes from 20,000 down to about 12 disciples continuing to follow him. Great church growth message. So God takes me and starts preparing me after that first 5 years of prayer, of seeing everything answered, and now he's teaching me to pursue him for love. And it's kind of like a five-year-old when you see them grow up and they you give them everything just to keep them quiet sometimes and all those different things, but then discipline starts coming in a whole nother realm and character starts being formed in the area that you start praying to decree God's justice, because prayer starts becoming about others. But so many times, as for me, we look for formulas, because you remember how you touched God and how God touched you years past. And so when I start feeling this silence of God, I start going, okay, I was desperate for God when I cried out for him to get right with God. So I'll just get desperate again and we'll do that in the flesh. Well, I know that I got hungry for God, so I'll just be hungry for God and I'll know he'll touch me again. And all of those things are true. Or we'll go to Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, cry out to me and I'll show you great mighty things that you. And so we'll come up with all these formulas. And then if there's, we hear the prayer of Jabez. Well, if I'll just pray all that, all this will happen. And there's a wooing process that God takes us through. Are we going to pursue him in the level of prayer out of intimacy and love? And that's where God started taking me into. And I call that season not the dark night of the soul. I call it moving into a place of maturity in the area of prayer. For you see, he wants to see again if we'll follow him because of stuff or love. And in this next 10 to 15 years, I start learning the principles that God has called us to co-labor with him. I loved how Wendy Kay prayed that while ago. We're all called to co-labor with him. I encourage you to read this story later, Genesis 18. It's the spiritual land, part of the spiritual land that Abraham has. His cousin Lot is he is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And in this day, these couple of angels and the Lord come walking in. I can't explain it to you all this theologically yet of that, and most of them can't in this story. But they sit down and they eat with Abraham, and the Lord says, as they're walking away and saying goodbye, the Lord looks at the angels and he says, you think I need to tell Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah since he's going to become a great nation? And the angels, of course, say yes, because they already knew God was asking a question they already knew the answer of. So he sends them on a way to find out if the injustice over those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was true. Can I tell you there's something over our cities spiritually crying out tonight? Just like in that story where homosexualism and lesbian and all this sexual perversion was crying out, the injustice, the land is crying out, people's spirits are crying out. And God starts talking to Abraham about the state of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he shares all of this and that how he's going to bring judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham starts interceding his spiritual land. He starts co-laboring with God. And he says, God, if you were to find 50 righteous, would you destroy all of it? Would you destroy the unrighteous if there's 50? And I'm sure many of you all know the story, if not every one of you. And in this place of intercession, Abraham starts crying out and knowing. And in the place of prayer, you start knowing the nature of God too, because God would rather have mercy than judgment. I tell you what, I don't think it made God happy in one bit that he had to rain fire down upon that city. He would rather rain fire down of holiness like he did in Pentecost than fire of destruction down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And in this place, Abraham intercedes and gets it down to 10 righteous people. And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 10. The deal that I've understood over these last 20 years of journeying with God in prayer, I think that God wanted Abraham to go down to 1. I'm not too sure Lot was all the way there, the one righteous brother there in that land when you really read the story, but at least he was the closest of anything in those two cities. So we're called to co-labor with God. And you know, you're called to pray the justices of God's mercy and love upon your city, just like Abraham did there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Elijah in 1 Kings 18:41-46, it's the story of the Baal. And again, he's called to co-labor with God. And all of those Baal worshipers are killed and destroyed because God's rained down fire. Great, great story. Elijah's got a word from God that after all this happens, there's going to be rain that comes to the land once again after 3 years of drought. Again, I know you all know the story, but isn't it amazing that even though he has a prophetic word, he's still got to go into the action of prayer, co-laboring with God to bring heaven to earth. I'm just talking Old Testament right now. And he gets into the form. Don't ask me why. Gets into the form of like a woman giving birth. And he prays one time. We don't know how long it was, if it was for 5 minutes or for 3 hours. Then he sends his messenger to go out and see if he sees anything of a cloud going to come in to bring the rain. 6 times he does this, and there's nothing. The 7th time, the servant comes out and goes, "Man, there's a cloud out there. It is so tiny, Elijah. It's about the size of my fist." But you see, when you know the nature of God, and Elijah did at that time, he said, "Man, it's time to pack the bags and get off the mountain, because, man, there's a huge abundance of rain coming." He co-labored with God, and he cried out God's heart and will to bring forth those things to the face of the earth. Another key lesson that I've learned in prayer is found in 1 Samuel 1, and I really want you to hear this. It's a story of Hannah. She wasn't able to bear children at the time. She had a person who provoked her. Can I tell you, God will bring and allow provoking to happen in your life that he wants to use it to take you to prayer. It says of Hannah this one thing. I encourage you to read the story. It's really a true story. Elkanah's other wife, true story in the Bible. Yeah, it's good. I caught that. It is a true story. It's in the Bible. But Elkanah had two wives. Hannah was one of them. Phinehas was the other one. And she was able to have children. Hannah wasn't. And God allowed that woman to provoke her during the daytime. "Look, he loves me more than you because I got kids. You don't." Now, what do most of us do? We go and complain to somebody, don't we? Here's a principle I had to learn the hard way. And I still have to be reminded at times. What Hannah did, she took it to the Lord and only the Lord. And then shared it with her husband, if you will. When God is allowing provoking to come into your life, before you share it with anybody, and you can have some covenant brothers and sisters praying for you, but learn to start taking it to the Lord without complaining coming out of your lips. I believe this is such a powerful, powerful principle, because so many times our intercession is complaining intercession. And not intercession, really believing God can do it. And I know I'm the only one in here that does complaining intercession, right up there, that touching the heart of God. But it really is a key principle to take your things that are disappointing to you, hurtful to you, take it to the Lord first, and then share it with others. Many of us have the tendency to share it with others, defile a lot of things, say things we shouldn't. Because you see, if you learn to take it to the Lord first, you take on His nature and you won't defile things in the midst of complaining. Make sense? Okay, I'm glad two of you really enjoyed that part. In Luke 11:1, what I found out also is the fact, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And also in Philippians 4:4-8, Paul tells his disciples to do this. "Rejoice always. I say rejoice in the Lord." There's a place that we have to get of thankfulness and worship that opens up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes. I love what I've heard Bill Johnson say, and I have found it true in my own life. If you have an hour to pray, make 50 minutes of it, praise and worship. See you, gang. Thanks for coming. I figure you're going with her. Bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Yeah, you sit right there on the front. I totally agree. It's the reason I thought I'd let everybody on the tape will know that now. So, see you in the morning. I encourage you to build your life of prayer of a thankful heart and a heart of adoration of who He really is. That is what Jesus says when the disciples asked him to come and pray. They said, man, when you start praying, start out like this. Our Father, hallowed be your name. And of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, I think it would be amazing if all of us got, if we had an hour to pray, 50 minutes of it was thankfulness. So many of the time, our hour of prayer has 50 minutes of petitioning. And if we could reverse that to where our time of prayer would be thankfulness and worship. Doesn't even have to have music. It's just thanking the Lord of all the things that He's blessed us with, blessed you with, blessed your city with, your family with. Again, it goes on to Luke there where God reminds you to co-labor with Him. Pray your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God truly does want to bring heaven to earth. I think the more we know God, the more we'll pray His will on earth. As we know Him as the beautiful one, as the God of mercy, the God of love, the God that brings forth resurrection, the God that brings forth reconciliation, the God that is the repairer of the breach. If I don't focus on strife and division in a family, but I focus on the fact that He's the repairer of the breach, I have more authority and confidence to walk into a situation and see a marriage repaired and restored, to see a relationship restored, because I know Him as the repair of the breach and not focusing on the disunity that may be in a relationship. What you focus on will have authority in your life and will have authority and a sound on your lips and in your heart. What you focus on in your heart of hearts is what has authority in your life. If you focus on that God is a God of judgment that loves to burn and call down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, that's how you're going to pray. But if you know Him as a God of mercy that poured His fire out upon 120 people in the upper room who deserved to have a little judgment, you'll pray with a place of mercy and love and goodness and God being a God of reconciliation. The way you see God and know God will be reflective in what you and how you pray. If you believe God is a hardcore God, that is the way a lot of your prayers will be. Please don't pray for me. I want those who pray for me who know God is a God of love. Yeah, get Him, God. You know He deserves it. Get Him, God. And it doesn't mean that you don't pray injustices if an enemy's trying to deceive me, if you will. But we have to separate the flesh and the spirit and to pray according to that way and God's will in that. As it goes on down through there, you're called to pray over your land. Give us this day our daily bread. That's where I pray for the men and women of this house, for your jobs to be blessed. That God would release new creative ideas for business. That is how God gives us our daily bread. For the different things going on in this house or in different things in this state, this nation, or things that I may know about in my family, I will ask God to release grace so that people would forgive one another and would forgive past wounds, past hurts. And in that place, I start praying for God to heal the brokenhearted. Then I pray that God would protect each and every one of us from the different ways and schemes of the enemy. So in closing, I say this over and over, and for those who followed me, and I believe everybody here who followed me from Sojourn, what is your spiritual land? And when you switch jobs, just like Jason back there, El Reno was his spiritual land for a season. That place shouldn't ever be the same because he was there. My wife and I got away for a few days in Fort Worth to celebrate our 29th wedding anniversary. When we left the hotel room this week, I said, God, let everybody who comes into this room encounter you day and night because we were in this place. That's what God said. There's so much to teach on prayer, and it's going to be fun, and Nancy's going to do a fabulous job, incredible intercessor. That's what God was telling Moses and Joshua, that where the soles of your feet tread, my kingdom will be established. Do you understand the power of those kingdom principles and the power of those words? That where you walk the remaining night, as we become understanding of the moment, praying and walking in the way, that as we go and you driving home and walking, God's kingdom's being established in the city limits of our city. See, we listen to the news or listen to bad things that our cities are being affected by this. Every city's being changed because we're driving in it. And the more we're in tune with God to decree His love and purpose into those city limits, it's changed. Where Coley, where you're keeping those five kids doing that nanny job, their home will never be the same. We have to get a true understanding that God is spirit, and where He takes us, He wants to affect that place and that situation. Amen? So in that, God takes us through the different seasons and transition of prayer. And the main thing He's looking for is a heart that will be consumed with His love to decree His will and His purposes on the face of the earth. I just want to spend the last 5-10 minutes in prayer. Then we'll release. But I'd like us to pray blessings over different churches in our cities, that God would pour out His Spirit upon them, that He would visit the pastors and leaders of that house and the flock of that house. Baby, you want to play the keyboard for just a moment? And you don't have to if you don't want to. You good? That's fine. It's good. Well, Father, we thank You that You've put us in this great city of Carrollton, Texas as a church. And I live in this city of Carrollton, Texas. I thank You, Lord, for putting me where You've put me at, Lord. And I speak Your blessings over the North Church over here. I thank You for Lawrence Kennedy and his leadership and their house there, Lord. And I pray that You would visit them, Lord. I pray that You'd visit them and that they would be blessed in their coming in and their going outs, Lord. I pray, Lord, health and prosperity upon Lawrence and his wife and his family and upon their church. I pray that tomorrow night in their midweek service that You would pour out Your Spirit and that miracles would be released. Lord, I pray Your blessings over this sweet little Korean and Spanish church over here on these little access road of I-35, Lord. I thank You for Sojourn Church in Bentry, Lord. I thank You for Christian Life Assembly, and I thank You for all the other life-giving churches, the Nazarene Church and the First Methodist Church. I pray, Lord, that You would visit those leaderships and visit those houses, Lord, that a mantle of prayer and a mantle of Your presence would fall upon them greater and greater than they've ever known before. Again, I thank You that Hope Fellowship of North Texas is established in this city of Carrollton, Texas, and may we always speak a blessing over this city. I thank You, Lord, that Your word says that You've blessed us to be a blessing. I pray, Lord, as the people that live in Plano and Louisville and all the different places that make up this house, that we would learn to drive and be aware of Your presence, of what You're speaking to us, to decree Your city limits into the city limits of Carrollton.
Lord, I just want to pray for a church that Bridget and I went to the other night. It's Central Christian Missionary Church down really, really close to Harry Hines. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I pray for the pastor, Amador Hernandez. Lord, I just pray that You would just so bless them, that You would use them. God, that Your presence would just fill that place. Lord, every time that they meet together, Lord, I just pray You would bless every member of their congregation. Lord, just the dancers that we met the other night, Lord, I just pray that You would just so bless them and use them. Lord, just what an awesome church in a place just like this, Lord, that You wouldn't even, nobody would even know it was there. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, just for Your blessings being poured out on that place, God, that You would use them. You would just so use them and bless them in Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to pray for the other Hope Fellowships around the Metroplex.
Father, I thank you that there is just this theme that you've got going, and that there have been numerous pastors and groups of people who come together as corporate bodies who've heard that heartbeat of yours. Father, there's several components in that name. One, that there's always hope when you're involved. When you're interjected in a situation, there's always hope. There's never despair and no way out. But Lord, there's just life and everything of the kingdom available. And Lord, fellowship, it's all about fellowshipping with you and with one another. And so, Lord, I just thank you that there's Hope Fellowship, Frisco, Denton, Irving, and I'm sure there are others that we don't know about. I pray for every Hope Fellowship in the Metroplex and any Hope Fellowship anywhere, Father, that they would be so full of life that people would be drawn and people would be asked, what is this hope that you have? Why do you have hope? Where does it come from? That it would be a door opener for your people to share that hope, that joy, that life that is within your people. So, Lord, I speak blessings over each one, over each pastor and every leadership group, wherever these churches are situated by you. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you that it just feels like there's a brotherhood in the spirit there. And I pray each one would be used mightily, that not one of them would miss the destiny for which you created them and brought that group of people together. But they would be mighty and strong in you, and they would be found taking the land that you have allotted to them. We bless them in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just lift up Heartland World Ministries Church, Lord, is all of the change that's been going on in their church, Lord. I just pray right now that direction will be given to them, Lord, to the people that are there, to the leaders, Lord. I just pray for healing over Steve Hill, Lord, that the cancer will be removed from his body in Jesus' name, that he can go on and be the evangelist that you've called him to be, Lord, that he can go out and touch the people, Lord, and Lord, that the people that you're bringing in to take over the church, Lord, I just pray that it will go smoothly. Lord, I just pray that the right people will be put in that place, Lord, that you will stop right now in the name of Jesus anyone that should not be in the leadership, Lord. And I just thank you that you've put this on my heart, Lord, to pray for this body. So, Lord, I just lift them up to you, Lord, when their hands may be heavy and they're tired, Lord. I just lift up that family to you, and I lift up the church family to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I lift up Church of Celebration up on 380. It's a small startup church or mid-sized startup church with a huge vision. And I like that, Lord, that you've got a young pastor who his heart is just to take that whole 380 corridor for your kingdom. So I lift them up to you, Lord. I pray you pour out your spirit on the leadership team and upon the people, Lord, and that you would give them the resources they need for this vision, Father, because you have to pay for these things. And so I pray for the windows of heaven to be open over that church, that they could have a spot where they don't have to tear it down, set it up every Sunday in a school like they're doing. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus is protection over them, especially Pastor Brad and his family, that no harm would come to them, that you would keep him and his leadership team and the whole group strong, Father, as they really are out in the community ministering and sharing your love. Father, continue to speak vision to them. I pray for a mighty outpouring of your spirit at that church, Lord, that they would just be amazed at what you do by the power of your spirit, that they would begin to move so prophetically that they would be amazed at what you do, how you speak through them, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, Father, the way you use them, gifts of healing. Let all of that flow. Just amaze them, Lord, by how you show up and you take their vision and you just breathe on it with all that's needed for there to be a revival throughout that whole corridor, Lord.
Well, Father, we do thank you for this evening. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would truly come and consume us and make us a house of prayer for all nations. And Lord, in that, Lord, we speak your blessings over this nation, that we would return once again, Lord, to the very beginnings, Lord, of how we started as a nation, Lord, of one nation under the living God. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would visit President Barack Obama and Vice President Biden, Lord, and Hillary Clinton and their entire cabinet, Lord. You would visit the Supreme Court justices, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that all through the Bible, Lord, there's dreams that were given to saved and unsaved people, Lord, who would literally just change a nation, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your church would start rising up in the area of prayer and praying your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Dreams that literally changed Pharaoh and Egypt, dreams that literally changed Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Lord, you did it then. Why not now? So, Lord, raise up people to pray like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was at, Lord, and Joseph and others in that time, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, let us co-labor with you. Hear your whispers. Hear your desires. And to pray your whispers and desires on the face of the earth, Lord. Lord, we lift up Cambodia and Deborah and Sopal to you, Lord. I thank you for a true man and woman of God. Lord, where there's a shortfall in finances and food, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would send forth blessings and finances their way, Lord. God, give them strength. Even as they, as Brad was telling me, they just went through another season of betrayal after pouring for years into a precious young man, and he became their worship leader and now has just turned and walked away and saying some tough things, Lord. We pray that you would comfort their heart and be a healer to their broken heart, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that just as one person told Brad when he was there, that, man, they're the father and mother of this nation. So, Lord, we honor them. We speak your blessings, and we thank you that we have the honor and privilege to give and to sow into them, Lord. And, God, would you visit them in a mighty way. We thank you for the miracles and signs and wonders and salvations. And, Lord, they feed so many poor people. Lord, would you bless this house so we could be a blessing to them more and more? Lord, would you continue to create businesses over there for those precious people? God, we lift up Juarez and Emmanuel Ministries to you, Lord, and we pray that you'd visit every orphan tonight, Lord, in a dream. Lord, you'd visit them with a great affirmation and love, Lord, from the Lopez's to every kid, Lord, every worker, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, that you would decree your justice into the streets of Juarez, Lord, that the light of your kingdom would penetrate every area of darkness, Lord. God, all through the Old Testament, you caused evil to just be totally eradicated. And we pray, Lord, let every form of evil be eradicated by the power of your name and the power of your kingdom for your glory and honor. Lord, I thank you for every one of these precious people and their families, their workplace, their city that they live in, Lord. I pray that you would bless them mightily, Lord. I pray that you would open up the storehouses of heaven and bless them spiritually with a greater revelation of your love, that they would be rooted and grounded in your love, Lord, that they would know the height, the depth, the length, and the width of your incredible love, Lord, that they would know the fact that no matter what they ask and think, and I pray that they're asking and thinking a lot, your word promises that you go above and beyond all that we ask and think, Lord. God, I pray that every one of these precious people and the people who make up Hope Fellowship of North Texas would know you as a daddy that goes that far above and beyond all that we're asking, thinking, Lord. So, God, let it be a lot because you make a great promise there, Lord. Lord, I just pray again, blessings, blessings, blessings over these precious people that have come out. Let them have a great night of sleep. Peace and rest, Lord. God, I pray your covenant, Lord, over each and every member of this house, Lord, that Steve Sandin would be healed, Lord. New kidneys, new lungs. I pray diabetes would not be able to stay in the gates of the members of this house, Lord, to the Pences, to Randy Black, to Derek Hardy and others, Lord. God, I lift up every other form of infirmity and sickness, and I thank you, Lord, you've already defeated it, Lord. I pray again that we would start rising up and finding the sound of victory that you've already paid for, Lord. God, I pray for couples who are wanting babies, Lord, husbands and wives that are wanting babies, and I speak forth fruitfulness and multiplication because that's a promise in your word. And, Lord, we stand on your word and your promises, Lord, and decree that you're the God that goes above what we ask and think, Lord. God, I say it again. Your word says you go above and beyond what we ask and think. So we thank you, Daddy, you're going to do it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.